Today, we want to talk about self-examination of the heart. Okay? Allowing the Lord to search our hearts, dig up what we need to work on, and that we give it to Him. Amen? So that we can be that productive servant of the Most High God. Get rid of this stuff and stop looking outward and judging everybody else and looking at their faults and their flaws, or what we perceive to be their flaws. And, you know, we tend to put people, we hold other people up to a standard that we're not even willing to meet for ourselves. You know what I mean? Not really. No one gets that. No, maybe it's just me. I'm totally preaching to myself this morning. You know what I mean? I want to preach what I've been practicing, but sometimes we have to practice what we preach. Amen. This is an area that the Lord wants us all to deal with, to do often and always. Let the Lord search our heart. And you know what? We don't have to dig too deep to find out, hey, what's hurting our relationship? Amen? Okay, let's get excited this morning. God is good. Turn to Matthew 7 and verse 3. Whew, there's power in the blood. Amen? Power in the blood. Matthew 7 and verse 3 is where we're going to start. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's been said from countless pulpits. I've said it myself, and it's a true statement, hate the sin and love the sinner, right? Hate the sin and love the sinner. That's a true statement. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think the starting place really, really needs to be is let's hate our sin, right? Man, tough crowd today, man. Woo, man. I need to get one of them horns. That's a horn, football horn thing. Okay. Let's just read the Word of God. God is good. Let's just let the Lord do His thing. Amen. Matthew 7 and verse 3. Why? This is Jesus talking. This is red letter stuff. This is taking notes stuff. This is apply to your life stuff here. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? So we have two people here, and they both have eye irritations. They conjunctivitis was a wide, no, I'm playing. Look, both people need help. But when I read this, the priority is on me. You see, I'm the dude with the log in my eye, and when Sister Rhonda reads it, she's the person with the log in her eye. When Dana reads it, she's the person with the log. That's how the text goes. The priority is you. So guess what? This is really good for our selfish selves. This is all about you right here. Okay? This is all about you. So when Nathan reads it, when John reads it, it's like, dude, I'm the guy with the log in my eye. See, God's saying, dude, I want you to work on some stuff. And that's all of us in here. Every single one of us have blown it. We've all made mistakes. But listen, we've been saved by grace, right? We've been saved by grace. But see, once I've accepted that gift, because you know you're not going to earn it, you're not good enough, you don't have enough money in the bank, it don't work that way, right? But I accept that gift, that precious gift, Robert. And then Jesus is like, boom, let's work on sanctification station, right? Let's start some maturing. And it's not that God doesn't want to use you, but He says, hey, let's walk with me for a bit. Let's get straightened up in these areas, because you know what? The areas that you're not giving to the Lord, you're not going to be able to bear fruit in those areas. You certainly can't go, even if your heart's in the right place. Dude, if I'm struggling with some hardcore, you know, addiction, say, like, I can't wait to get out of here because I got a bottle of the Jack Daniels underneath my car seat. I'm like, man, I can't wait for, I don't. I finished it already. No, I'm playing. No. But you know, say, you know, I can't wait for church to go over so I can't cope without me. You know, it's beer 30 or whatever. And listen, man, I'm not talking about, you know, whatever. We all got things we have to work on, you know. If you drink beer, whatever, that's between you and the Lord. Stay within the legal limits and be wise about it. and all that jazz, okay? If it's an idol, then you need to deal with it, right? Okay? You don't have, no, never mind. See, y'all get me so nervous. Okay, but, you know, if I'm struggling with, you know, I can't cope without having me a couple swigs before I go home. I can't handle Rachel Jean, you know, and then you come up to me like, Pastor Paul, listen, man, I got a drinking problem. Like, well, dude, let's talk about this over a couple stiff ones, man. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not going to bear fruit in these areas. You got to give it up. You got to get rid of it. If it's an idol, man, let's get rid of that noise. Amen? Okay, so listen, we got the log. The other dude's got the speck. But when the dude with the speck, when he reads it, guess what he's got in his eye? He's got the log. So we all got things that we got to work on. But see, we look outward and we're like, man, I cannot believe sister so-and-so wore that to church. She must have just left a honky-tonk and slept it off in the parking lot. You know? Well, thank goodness she's in church, right? Right? And who are you to judge somebody like that? The Bible says don't judge. No, the Bible doesn't say don't judge. It says we use righteous judgment. And that we are going to be judged. If I'm judging you, then I'm going to be judged the same way. Amen? So if I'm judging somebody, I need to have the right motivations. Like, hey. Sister Cheyenne, let me tell you what, I'm not gossiping. I just want you to pray about this. You know? Like, yeah, man, you're totally gossiping right now, right? That's the number one first thing an old lady says in church. I'm not gossiping. I just need you to pray for Rhonda. Sister Rhonda. I looked in her purse when she opened it, and she had a pocket knife. No Christian woman need to. What in the world is that about? That's silly, but man, that's how we get, right? We're always looking out. We're always condemning other people, holding them to a standard you ain't about to meet, right? We got to turn it inward. Examine our own hearts. Let the Lord do his thing. Amen? Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Okay, we get the point. You hypocrite. Isn't that, man, that's sharp, right? That stings a little bit. Okay, because we've all been there. Man, listen, be honest with yourself. We do this kind of mess all the time, you know? Okay, maybe I'm just telling on myself. You hypocrite, first take the log. Now, this is good. Listen, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So it's not that God doesn't want to use you. He totally wants to use you. But he's saying, let's get to a place of maturity in these areas, all right? I want to use you, but man, this is an area that you've sealed off, and you're not letting me get anywhere near this area. Let's work on this before you start working on your neighbor. You're going to have the wrong attitude, and it's going to bear the wrong fruit unless we deal with this first. Amen? God is good? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 18 and 9 in the Gospels. Gospels in the house. Luke 18 and verse 9. This is Jesus again. Whew, man, Jesus is strong. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Now see, there are people that believe they don't need Jesus Christ, that I can get there on my own. You know, I'm going to work this whole thing out myself. I'm going to be sincere, and I'm going to think good thoughts and positive vibes, and I'm going to feed the baby dolphins and all this stuff. And you know, man, if there's a God, he's going to see my good stuff. And, man, I'm so in there. I'm not like Charles Manson or Charles Dickens or whatever, fill in the blank. And we're not like that. If you're in here, hopefully you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know that you can't make it on your own, right? But sometimes we will still be like the self-righteous person and be like, Jesus, I appreciated everything. I appreciate you big time. You know, I really appreciate what you did, saving my soul. But this area right here, I got to hold on to this, you know. I will deal with this on my own. I'm gonna get this on my own steam, on my own power. I'm gonna take care of this. No, you're not. All God's people said, no, you're not. You can't do it on your own. You can't clean yourself up. That's like slapping Jesus in the face. Right? Thinking you can clean yourself up? Give me a break. That's what Jesus is for. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. You know what I mean? No, I don't need your help on this one. No. Give it to him. Amen. That's what we got to do. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. When we start judging other folks and looking at other folks, we're going to start looking down on other people, aren't we? I mean, you can't help it. You put yourself on a pedestal. Man, I'm God's gift to everybody. Man, this church would fall apart if I wasn't here. You know what I mean? Okay, well, what are you doing? You're looking down on other people, right? Ain't nobody in here like me. Well, thank the good Lord. Amen? Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay, so the Pharisees, we know this, they're like the religious leaders of the day in Israel. They were like lawyers, teachers, pastors. They had a lot of authority. And a lot of times they would abuse that authority. You know what I'm saying? But they looked good on the outside. They looked really, really good, really, really cool. And a lot of them were about that outward show. And then you have the tax collectors. Everybody hated tax collectors, man. That is true. But these guys were like the IRS on steroids. These guys, okay, here's the deal. The tax collectors were traditionally, they were Hebrew people that would purchase the right to be a tax collector from the Roman authorities. Okay, so they were in bed with the enemy. Okay, that's a no-no right there. All right, but they would purchase this right, but it wasn't because they wanted to be in Caesar's pocket or have his favor so much, but when you had that authority, and Caesar says, I need this much from each individual, okay, well, then you have the authority to say, okay, this is what I have to get, but you wouldn't tell the people, you wouldn't tell them this, you'd be like, okay, this is what Caesar has to get. But you know what? I'm going to get this much more from everybody. So it was like these guys were totally ripping people off, and everybody knew it, but there was nothing you could do about it unless you wanted the weight of the Roman government coming down on you. You see what I'm saying? So these guys were fat cats ripping everybody off. Okay, most of them. I'm sure there were some honest ones somewhere, somehow. I don't know. Let's just pray for them. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Who knows? But here's the deal. We got a Pharisee and we got a tax collector. They're coming to pray. Okay. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. This is the Pharisee. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. See that? Okay. We know dude has a problem. He's got a pride issue right there, right? Thank God I ain't like everybody else. I am God's gift. Okay, thank you that I am not. God, you are so blessed to have me. Let's just get this straight right now. In no way, shape, or form do you complete God. You don't. You do not. You're the one with a God-shaped hole in your heart. He completes us. Amen. Can I get a witness? All right, God is good. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners. Then he goes through the list. I'm not an extortioner. We can, you know, I'm not as bad as my neighbor. You know, we got DUI. You know, I ain't that bad. Why do we even do stuff like that? Any old hoot and holler. Okay. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. I'm so glad I'm not like that dude. That dude is horrible. I don't even know what he's doing here. But that's what we do. We look at other people and we're like, man, I've got my act together so much more better than that dude. When the Lord says, look at yourself. Start hating your sin. Amen. Put that underneath the microscope for once and see what you got going on down there. Amen. Y'all with me? All right. Now listen. So we're supposed to examine ourselves and see what wickedness is in us. You know, what do we have in us that God doesn't like? That's hurting our relationship. You know what I mean? So this dude's kind of going down a checklist, but he's not being sincere. You know what I mean? He's not really allowing the Lord to search his heart. I mean, he's going down like A+, A+, A+. Man, I'm killing this right here. You know what I mean? Look how cool I am, God. I fast twice a week. Everybody said, that's pretty cool. My eyes are yellow, God, with malnourishment for you. I may pass out before I'm done praying this. But that shows how much I love you. I fast twice a week. You know how much they were supposed to fast? Or what they were, what was like ordered for the, once a year. Once a year. So this dude is like, boom, hey, tax collector, my teeth have fallen out because I don't even eat. Five days a week, I don't know, it's all blurry right now. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So he's got the whole outside thing kicking, you know what I mean? But he's not really searching his heart. He's bragging about how awesome he is as opposed to saying, God, search my heart. See what wickedness is in me. Amen? Okay, y'all want to see what's going on with the tax collector or y'all just want to go to home? Y'all want to go home? If we leave right now, we can be at Whataburger before the other churches. It ain't no secret I like some Whataburger. Okay, next verse, where we at? Okay, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast. This isn't a territorial thing like an ape or a monkey would do. This is an outward sign of sorrow, remorse, repentance. He is truly seeking the Lord. You see what I'm saying? He is running to the Lord, saying, God, I am so flawed. I am nothing without you. Amen. Beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. Completely opposite to what the preacher guy just said. You know what I mean? The Pharisee was like, I am so awesome. I'm so great. I'm fasting all the time. I'm living off ice cubes. This guy, who's a sinner, just like the Pharisee, right? Just like the Pharisee, said, God, I need you. I am just messed up. Amen? Okay, Oswald Chambers said this, I will never despair of any man when I rightly discern what lies in me apart from the grace of God. Without God's grace, man, you're waking up in a ditch. Without God's grace, you're not waking up in the ditch. You're just in the ditch. You know what I'm saying? God is good to us. And who in the world are we to condemn and judge other people? You know what I'm saying? When we got all this foulness right up in here that we need to give up. Amen? Okay, I guess this should have just been my personal Bible study, Robert. I'm playing. I love you guys. Okay, well look, man, let's go to the next slide. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Okay, this is what David said. Was David perfect? No, David wasn't perfect. Let's see, murder, adultery. He wasn't perfect. Okay, Psalms 139 and verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. That is a dangerous prayer to pray. That's like mega dangerous. All God's people said, that's mega dangerous. That's the title of my new album coming out, Mega Day. Oh, God is good. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Not just what you see, not just what everybody sees around me, but God, look deep inside. What is in me that you do not agree with, and see if there be any grievous way in me. So, let me see what it is. You show it to me, and let's work on this. Amen? That's Old Testament, man. I live under grace. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:28. New Testament. Let a person examine himself. You know what happens when you're in the airplane and... Let me just start like this. Anybody ever been on a commercial airplane flight? Really? No one's ever done that. Miss Martha's done. Okay, cool, cool. The lady, you know, that you have the movie. When I haven't done it since like 2003, but there's a little movie and the lady's talking and she's like, okay, put your seatbelt on and all this before we take flight. And then there's a lady demonstrating the little mask deal. Remember the little mask deal? And he's like, okay, if the cabin loses pressure, little masks are going to come out. And what does she say? Rick, what does she say? Put yours on first. Put yours on first before you walk down the aisle trying to help out all the little old ladies and all that. You know, that's what we got to do, man. Get ourselves right. Then you can help some other people out. Amen. God is good. God is good. Let a person examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judged ourselves truly, looking at ourselves, saying, oh, this isn't good. I gotta get rid of this. We would not be judged. Woot dog. Everyone say woot dog. Because God's a loving father, right? He's a loving father. Okay, so you know what? He'll bring correction, spare the rod, spoil the child, right? And he'll bring correction, not because he hates us. It's the opposite, because he loves us, right? Amen? But see, here's the deal. If we would allow the Lord to search our hearts, and then we see what boils to the top, we see what is there that's not pleasing to him, and we deal with it, then we're going to save ourselves a lot of unnecessary pain. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We need to use this right here. Let this Bible speak to you. Amen? Let it point out, man, what's going on. Like, when I read that, and I was like, man, I gotta wait a few weeks before I preach this. You know what I mean? I got to take care of some stuff, Nathan, before I bring this to the folks, man. I got a big old log in my eye, apparently. You know what I mean? The Bible showed me that. You know what I'm saying? And you read about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Guess who you are, man? I don't know. I know who I am. You know what I mean? It's like, man, we got stuff that we got to work on. You know what I mean? And God loves us. He loves us. He just says, get rid of this nonsense, man. You don't need this. Okay, look, Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. So I'm in the Word of God, man. The Word of God is going to expose some stuff, without a doubt. But I'm going to also get my time of prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful. Okay? So let's get rid of the little petition. I mean, I'm not saying you can't petition the Lord or ask the Lord for things. Okay? But in serious times of prayer, let's be watchful. Let's be vigilant to what the Lord exposes to us. Right? Right? And then let's deal with it. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Okay? So when you see something, you're like, oh, yeah, I see your point. I shouldn't really be doing that anymore. And you think about, you know, stuffing it back in the closet or underneath the bed or whatever you got going on in your heart there. Say, be watchful with thanksgiving. You know, think about how good God has been to you. What's been done for you? Huh? How about them apples? All right. Think about what God has done for you, his shed blood, how you're never, ever, ever going to know what hell feels like. And how come we feel so comfortable just continuing to do these things? I don't know. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded. We need to be sober-minded. Okay, so let's be vigilant. Let's realize that Satan is going to exploit any avenue he can, right? He comes as an angel of light. I need to be prayed up. I need to be read up. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. There it is again. Be watchful. When this is exposed, don't hide it under a bushel. Let's deal with it. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So Satan doesn't want us to clean our act up. He likes for you just to, you know, stand on your little pedestal and condemn everybody else. That's working real good, man. Amen. All right, next slide. But see, here's the thing. This is the deal right here. If I earnestly seek God, if I'm serious, like David was like serious, man. He was like, God, you know what? Let's just show it to me, and then let's deal with this stuff, right? So if I'm seriously hungry for some time with the Lord, and I really set out to meet the Lord, guess what? He's going to meet with you. He's going to meet with you, and he will expose some stuff that you need to work on. Well, he ain't never done that before. Yeah, he has. We just don't choose to listen. It's true. Like, I don't want to talk about that right now. Let's talk about my fleet of jet skis. Am I making any sense? But anytime we really, really meet with the Lord and we listen, he will expose some stuff, man. This is the truth. You got scripture to back that up? Well, you know I do. Okay, Isaiah, is that on there? Go to the next slide. What I'm saying is, if you get before the Lord and you hunger to be in his presence and you pray, God, expose what wickedness I'm hanging on to, you think he's going to be like, meet me same time tomorrow and we will talk about it? No, he's more like, oh man, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to bring this up. You finally ready to listen? Okay. Isaiah 6 in verse 3. So this is Isaiah in the throne room. Really, really awesome. And one called to another. This is the seraphim or the seraph or the fiery angels. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So that's what goes on in the throne room nonstop. Holy, holy, holy. There's none like God. Let's just say it like that. Nobody comes close. No one's in the same ballpark. No one's in the same universe. There is no one like him. And he says, be holy because I'm holy. You live a set apart life. Amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Romans 1 says that a lot of folks deny him, repress the truth. Amen. A lot of people repress the truth that there's a God when we know in our hearts there is a God. Does that make sense? We all know in our hearts there is a God, but we will repress that truth because if there's a God, then I need to live by what he tells me to do. Amen. But see, it says the whole earth is full of his glory, and that says right there that nobody has an excuse. Nobody has an excuse because the stars point to a creator. The mountains, the hills, the rivers, the streams point to the fact that there is a God, a real God, a loving God. So if we choose to not accept that fact, that's what you're doing. You are repressing the truth because you don't want to live by what he says. And it just goes on and on and on, but we're not like that. We love Jesus, but we can still repress the truth in some areas if it makes us feel good for that time. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to handle this on my own. This area is off limits. Who in the world do we think we are? Amen? All right. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook in the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Okay, so Isaiah is about as close to face with God that anybody can ever get at. without having like the last 5 minutes of Raiders of the Lost Ark happening. You know what I mean? It's like the smoke is, that's God's mercy right there. Separation between God and man, right? In the Old Testament, when you see the smoke, that's God's presence, God's glory. Isaiah, who already loved God, who already had a relationship with God, like us, is seeing God like never before, like he's never seen him before, and he is blown away by being in his presence. So that's what I'm saying. If we get serious and we go before the Lord, he's going to meet with us. And he's going to show us, hey, stop. Stop doing that. You know what I mean? And I said, this is what Isaiah said. Woe is me, for I am lost. Dude was already a godly person. He's like, man, this is bad. Oh, my goodness. Angels are flying around and stuff. And here's God. Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He's like, man, I was feeling pretty good about myself until right now. It's like, I am so flawed. Everybody I know in the neighborhood, they're all messed up too. And here is God. I am ruined. But see, if we hunger, say, God, you know, I know I'm holding on some stuff, and let's deal with this. He's going to expose it. He will. Okay. Luke 5 and verse 8. He's old Peter. Peter, Simon Peter. This is when he meets Jesus. He's being called to be a disciple. So Jesus is giving this awesome, amazing sermon, and the crowds are getting all crazy and start to push on him. So Jesus, being Jesus and being like really, really smart, sees Peter in a fleet of boats, and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to sit here at the edge of the boat here, and you just push off a little bit because, you know, I know these people won't want to get their feet wet and everything will be cool. So he's sitting on the edge of the boat. He delivers this awesome, amazing sermon, and then Jesus wants to chill, man. And he goes out on the water with these guys that will become some of his disciples. He's like, hey, throw the nets out. He's like, no. See, fishing was done at night back then. You know, it was really, really hot, and they wouldn't fish at the daytime. Just didn't do it. And see, Peter and them, they had just got done fishing. They were cleaning up, and then the whole sermon thing starts around them. Well, see, Jesus, like, throw the nets out. And they end up throwing the nets out, and they catch so much fish that the nets are starting to break. They pull the stuff into the boat. The boats are starting to sink. And all God's people said, that's a good catch. That's a good day of fishing right there. See, and that's a problem I ain't never had, man. I don't never catch no fish. I ain't even been fishing in years because I'll never catch no fish. I am fish repellent. You can take me fishing. You can catch fish until I get with you. Then we're not going to catch no fish. Like, no, for real, this is a foreshore deal, man. Don't no one know about this little hole, and you're going to catch fish all day long until I get there. Anyways. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. So Peter's like blown away. He's like, man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And see, all he really knows at this point is that Jesus is this powerful guy that has a powerful anointing and God is really, really using. He doesn't know that he's God in flesh. But see, he's blown away by him. And this is what he says. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. He's not saying, get out of here. I never wanted this many fish in my boat. I got a hole in my boat now. He's not, gone with you. He's not saying that. He's like, I cannot believe I am in your presence. I cannot believe that you want to be with me. See, God wants us. He loves us. He paid a humongous price that we're never going to understand for us to be in the family. And when we come face to face with him, when we're really hungry to meet with him, he's going to show us some things, and then we are to deal with that. Amen? All right. God is good. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody do some jumping jacks. Who said no? No, I'm playing. I'm playing. I wouldn't ask y'all to do that anyways. Okay, John 21 and verse 15. Now, okay, what we just read, that was when Peter just met Jesus. Okay, so this, what we're about to read here is 3 years plus. This is the resurrected Jesus after his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus had already shown himself, the risen Savior had already shown himself a couple times to the disciples. But Peter was going through a bit of a weird situation, man, at this point. A little discouragement had came in. And so instead of sitting tight, he says, you know what? I'm going fishing, man. I'm going back to the old way. I'm going back to a simpler time before all this craziness and Romans and crosses and all this, man. I just need to get out and think for a while. We can get like that sometimes. The things of the past can start looking really, really good all of a sudden, right? Ouch. You know, the things we used to dabble in start to have an appeal again, or sometimes we never really let go of some stuff, so it's just always been there, right? So anyways, Peter rushes back, and so the disciples are like, yeah, let's go fishing, man. So they're back there doing the fishing thing, and then Jesus shows himself. This is a really, really cool story. Read it on your spare time. John 21 and verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, so Jesus appears, and they hang out, they have breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. Okay, so that's like when your mom yells out the back door, you know, Paul William Rott. That's serious time. That's serious time. Doesn't mean I don't love you anymore. You know, it's just serious. You know, serious. Simon Peter, son of John. Y'all with me? So you don't do like, are you talking to me? Okay. Are you the only son of John here I know of? Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, Peter, I'm talking to you. See, Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus is about to ask him three times, do you love me? Three times. I need you to thank Peter with love, man. He is so nurturing and comforting. He knows that he knows our frame. He's been, like I said last week, he's been tempted just like us. He just never gave in to it. You know what I mean? He knows about the struggles, man. He knows all this. He says, Peter, I want to do some awesome things with you. There's a lot of people with logs in their eyes, man. A lot. But you got to get rid of yours, dude. All right? I want to use you in some areas, man. You got all this mess, man, that you got to get rid of. So I'm asking you, Pete, what's important to you? What is really important? Amen? And that's what we got to ask ourselves. Because we can pray this prayer anytime, but if we don't mean it, if we're not really serious, we're like the Pharisee. We're just, God is great, God is good. Thank you for my DVD copy of Boys in the Hood. You know what I mean? What is that? God wants to hang out with us. And when we hunger and we really get in there, he says, okay, man, let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Get rid of this. Get rid of this. Give me that back. Give me that. No, 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 no. You see what I'm saying? When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? That's an interesting question, and there's been a lot of disagreement by historians over what actually Jesus is talking about there. Some people say that Jesus is saying, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Which I don't think that's it. I could be wrong, but you know, the disciples already had this whole thing about, man, I'm the greatest. You know what I mean? So that's not the vibe I'm getting. That's not what I'm getting at all. I don't think he's trying to stir up any competition between these guys in that area. Amen? A lot of people say a lot of different things. One person says, do you love me more than you love these other disciples? I think that makes more sense. But what I really, really think We got to look at the big picture, and the Bible will speak for itself. You know, Peter was a fisherman, and he went back to this. Things got a little hairy. Things got really, really crazy. And he was in that, you know, just, man, a lot has happened really fast. So he went back to what was comfortable to him, what he knew, right? So they're on the beach. They're eating the fish. You know, there's the smell of the salt there, the little crabbies walking around and all that. You know what I mean? The fishing nets, the boats, your old way of life. Peter, do you love me more than this stuff? What's the big thing for you, Pete? What do you want to do? Because, you know, man, if you want to, you can hide out here for a little while, you know, but it's not really going to work out for you. You're going to be wasting time. Who's done that? Yeah. Oh, man. But see, that's what God is asking all of us. You know, dude, what is it? What's your thing? What's the most important here? So be watchful and be thankful. God has been so good to us. Amen? Do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said to him, feed my lambs. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants to straighten us up so we can be about his business. Some of us are like light years ahead of other people in some areas, but some areas we're like little baby Christians. You know, can't feed you little lamb in this area because I'm all messed up in this area. You know what I mean? And that's how we are. Doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus. Doesn't mean that he don't love you, but he wants us to get our act together. Amen? Dear Lord Jesus, just bless these folks, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we are going to earnestly seek you, that we're not going to be playing games, that we're going to want more of you and less of ourselves, that we're going to take John's advice and have no more idols. We're going to flee from idols. We're going to earnestly seek you and pray, expose in my heart what is evil and wicked. And then we're going to give it to you. Thank you, Jesus, that we're a mature church, a church that loves you more than anything else, Lord God. We love you. In Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen. Okay, so, hey, check this out. If you volunteer in the nursery,
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. And Father, I always speak blessings to each one as we go out and share the gospel. Keep us safely in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.